to speak of, as well as for solutions to mysteries that he knew nothing about. "Who killed Robert Maxwell?" Rupert Murdoch asked him suddenly when they lunched together. And the public presumed he was at a loss when the Cold War ended, with his great preoccupying subject gone. On the contrary, its end delighted him, and history was far from over. The players changed, the game went on. He had focused on the Cold War from the 1960s because it was the overriding drama of the age. Others quickly succeeded it: the arms trade, the night manager, the war on terror, absolute friends, big farmers' misdeeds in Africa, the constant gardener, Trump's America and Johnson's Britain, with their spoon-fed media and nationalistic duping of the public, appalled him equally. Each deserved excoriation in a book in which the characters acted out a global argument, just as the closed society of spies had been, for him, a theatre of the world. So there could be no end to writing, and that, on this gradually clearing morning, was his purpose on the heath. Notebooks weighed down his pockets, no laptop for him, but the unmechanized thrill of shaping the words with his pen. He had other scribbling places, particularly his seaside home at St. Burien in Cornwall, where no one knew who he was. North London was more difficult, as joggers panted past and trains rattled distantly on the overground. He was making for a particular bench that stood separate from its companions, tucked under a spreading tree. There he worked away, and it seemed to him, from time to time, when he looked up, that a figure observed him, balding, plump, quite unlike him physically, but with the same tendency to want to hide, and the same occasional sharp pain from seeing too much. Even at a distance he could spot him, from the way he thoughtfully cleaned his glasses with the fat end of his tie. A large part of himself, too, had gone to make up Smiley. He was now walking towards him, his lenses gleaming like mirrors.